good to be with you this morning and to continue our study. I found, and I think you have found too, any time that we are involved in gospel meetings or lectureships like this, whether here or other places, that it is the accumulation of lessons over a period of a few days or a week that reminds us of the value of studying God's Word and the extra effort that we make. The extra effort that we make. My wife said it's not on, but it is on here. Thank you. The extra effort that we make in occasions like this that you've made yesterday and Friday night and today is beneficial because we're studying God's Word. But just that extra time that we spend, I'm always encouraged by hearing lessons, you know, over not just, you know, 1 hour, but a number of hours together to bring them together. And it reminds us of the importance of Bible study in our own lives. Really the point that Mark made of consistency of God's Word and on a steady basis changes who we are. And so I appreciate the opportunity to study with you this morning. And the opportunity to teach this lesson. We looked yesterday from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, about the importance of parents being strong in their teaching of their children and being courageous in their dedication to the Lord and teaching their children out of their own commitment in service unto God. Because that strengthened, and from Deuteronomy, that strengthened the nation of Israel, and that's where God started, and it strengthened them in their relationship with God, and it strengthened their children. And so there's a continuation of thought there that the efforts that we make affects other people. The second part of that is the fact that, as we've talked from 1 Timothy and Titus, that the Bible says that that elders and deacons ought to rule their house well and their children are in submission and are obedient to them. And that's, though that is a definite qualification for an elder and a deacon, it's really the qualification and the desire of every parent and every family to have a house that is ruled well. There's very few qualifications of elders and deacons that all Christians are not seeking to apply to their lives. You don't have to be married to be a Christian, and you don't have to have children to be a Christian, and you don't have to be apt to teach to be a Christian. But pretty well all the rest of the qualifications of elders and deacons are those qualifications that all of us are seeking in our lives. And this is one of them, that we would rule our houses well and our children would be submissive. But what it says, therefore, to children this morning particularly, and we have a good number this morning that I can talk to you this morning, that it also depends on you in your children and your parents' work with you and their guidance with you, that you also have a responsibility in God's sight. Because if you learn the lesson of obeying your parents that we're going to talk about this morning and some reasons for doing that, it makes you stronger. But not only does it make you stronger in your relationship with God, it makes your family stronger. In the family relationship, it makes the family work like God intended the family to work. When you, as a child, will be submissive to your parents as God instructs, who love the Lord. And not only that, it makes the church stronger. That whenever you, as a child, are obedient to the parents, and not only that, but it also influences the people around you in so many ways. To make them see that you as a young person are serving the Lord, seeking to follow your parents because of your obedience to the Lord, and are contributing to circumstances all around you. And so I've adapted that to the idea of a rock in a pond. You throw a rock in a pond and we all know what happens. The rock hits the water and then goes down and there's no evidence that it ever hit the water. You know that's not the case. That whenever a rock hits the pond, and we all like to throw rocks in ponds, the ripples go out from there. You can never throw a rock in a pond and there'd be no ripples. There are always ripples. And those ripples, young people, and I'm just to all of us, is to understand that every choice that we make in our lives, young or old, doesn't just affect us. There isn't anything that you do that you can say, well, that's just me, and I'll do what I want to do. It will affect nobody else but me. There isn't anything that we do that only affects us. Good or bad. Truthfulness or in sinfulness. It affects us first of all, but it affects other people. It affects our friends, our families, our work, our society, our nation, the church. And so that's the principle I want to study with you a little bit further this morning, of the importance of the effect that and the importance of obeying God's law, that He speaks specifically to children and to say, you have a responsibility as young people and as children. In Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. In Colossians 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. And that's not the only place that God identifies and addresses children. And the children there means people who are willing, who have the ability to understand and the principles of obedience and the principles of a relationship unto God. But there are many places in Scripture that identify that. The Bible says in Psalm 127 of the view that parents have of you as their children. It says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Young people, that's how your parents see you. Especially if your parents are trying to serve the Lord. They see you as a gift. They see you as a reward. They see you as an arrow in the hand of a warrior. And he likes to have those straight arrows that he can shoot out into the world. That's the way your parents see you. And you are a blessing. You will never know until you have your children of how precious you are to your parents. And what a gift you are to your parents. I heard a grandmother on a telephone talking to her son. And the son was going, I was eavesdropping. And you could hear that son was saying, oh, my son's doing this, he's crawling up and he's doing this, and just the joy in his, and the grandmother said, son, now you know how much I love you. How much I love you. Young people, do you know understand that since the day you have been born, there's hardly an hour that your parents don't think about you? Well, I've been out of the house for, you know, or even away from them. There's hardly an hour that that something in their actions and their and as they go through the life and they go through the day that they're thinking about you in some way, in some capacity. Do you know that your parents would give their lives for you? They would give their lives for you if it took that kind of sacrifice. God addresses, therefore, children in their responsibilities unto Him. And you know what? Sometimes young people think, well, God's just against young people. I can't do this, have to live this way, And it's just a matter of, okay, put the pressure on me, and God doesn't understand that I'm young. Not so. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. God says, rejoice, and God sees the value of being young. Wouldn't it be terrible, old folks? that if children were born old in some way, and I don't know how that happened, but it would be terrible. Suppose we didn't have the youthfulness of children and the zeal and the bright eyes and the all the things that children give. That'd be a terrible, boring life. God gave people, He meant for us to begin as children. He didn't make, in some way, cause us to be born 30. That's really old, right? All of a sudden we're just popping into the earth and we're 30 years old. No, we're children. And He says, rejoice in being young. That's good, being young. God never looked at a young person and said, oh, that's a young person. And the rules and regulations are there because youth says something just to get through and get over with so you can grow up. No. God says being young is a time to rejoice, a time of blessing. But He says in the second part of that verse, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And so we recognize youthfulness and the zeal and the nature of being young, but He also recognizes, as we will recognize in this lesson, our accountability to God. And therefore He says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And the word remember there is not just, I remember that fact. The word remember is the point to act upon. The best time that you can serve, make the decision to serve the Lord is whenever you're young. Not the only time. People in the end of their lives and can obey God when they understand God's admonition to them. But the best time to begin to serve the Lord is in your youth, when you have an understanding of the principles of God's Word to obey the gospel then. That's the best time. Because there's so many, because none of us know of what life has for us and what's ahead and what the influence will be upon us and whether or not we even can obey God when we get older or when we even get older. Is not a promise that God's Word gives us. But the point of it is, that's the best time to begin to think about and to be obedient to God and His Word. And so let's look back at the principle of obedience, to obey. Probably one of the first things that children learn whenever they're real small, even before they understand what the parents are doing, is to obey. After learning those very important words, Mama and Daddy, and oh, that melts the heart of a daddy, I can tell you. And the second thing that melts the heart of a daddy is Papa. If you're a grandparent, it melted my heart just like my children said, Daddy for the first time or Mama the first time. But the second thing that most real young children learn is no. Right? Remember learning no as a child? That was, your parents were doing their job, because one of the challenges that parents have, an important principle that children have to learn, is to obey. To obey. One preacher asked a little girl, James R. Cope told this story in a parenting class back in Bradley in the 1970s. See how old I am? And he said he went to a house of a family, and the little girl's name was Susie. And he said, what's your name? She said, Susie, no. and so sometimes we have to be real careful as parents that we don't teach our children, Jimmy, no. You know, Anna, no. Marie, no. They need to hear yes sometimes when we can say yes. But the principle is that parents teach their children to obey. And that's one of the things that are necessary. Suppose the commandment of God's Word or our society was, and parents obey your children. Would you like that? Parents obey your children. Well, that would be fun for a while. But it could also be disastrous. Oh boy! Would you let him? Oh boy! Would you let him? Would you turn on the three-wheeler? Now I have four-wheelers, but that's a three-wheeler, and that's my son Jim. At three, I think, or two, or something like that. Turn it on and let him go. What? Would you get in a car with a six-year-old and say, let's go. Let's go to Memphis. Would you get in a car with a 10-year-old? Let's go. Turn on. I want to drive, Daddy. Great, let's go. How about a 12-year-old? Why? Because you know that a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old doesn't have the knowledge and the experience of driving a car and doing a lot of other things, and their parents do. But that is the principle of God's Word, that children, you need to learn to obey your parents because of the experience and the knowledge and their desire for you to please God, because in your obedience to them, not only are you obeying them, you are learning to obey God. We did let him drive eventually. And sent him off. That's his first day leaving home to go to college. And then we gave him the keys before then. But then you send him off and pray every day that he remembers the lessons that he learned whenever he was at home. And so the principles that are there of our obedience unto God, obey your parents in the Lord. And that's what young people need to understand, that you need to obey your parents, not just because you obey your parents, but because you want to obey God. Obey your parents in the Lord. That God has that, you have that relationship with God and responsibility unto God. But also understand this, young people, that the reason why your parents are seeking to give you rules and regulations and instructions about life is not just because you're their gift and you're their arrow and you're their reward and the blessings of life, but because they are trying to obey God. That's the reason they're seeking to be the parents that they need to be, is because, not only because they're parents, because they're trying to obey God too, and God tells them to teach you. And that's important to understand, that their obedience, because is their obedience in the Lord. Your parents oftentimes, and it's a good practice for parents to teach their children immediate obedience. Not obey me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Obey me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Obey me, no, obey me. No, parents need to teach their children to obey me immediately. Amen. To obey me completely. Do all that I tell you to do, not just halfway. And to obey, and to obey me with the right attitude. You ever hear that? Obey me immediately, son. Do what I say, son, with the right attitude, son. Where did your parents learn that? From the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 22, God spoke to Abraham and said to Abraham, now take your son, whom you love, your only son, and take him to Mount Moriah. Now it came to pass after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on the one of the mountains which I will tell you. It was a test of Abraham. Would he trust God and have faith in God? What did Abraham do? So Abraham rose early in the morning. His obedience was immediate. And as they were going along the way, if you remember, Isaac said, Father, here is the wood, and here is the, and we're going to the place of sacrifice. Where's the sacrifice? And it took about 3 days to get there. Abraham had time to think about that. And he said, the Lord will provide. And the text goes on to say, in chapter 22 and verse 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. What did he do? He was immediate. We have no indication that Abraham said, wait a minute, God. Do you understand really what you're doing and who this son is, the son of promise? No indication of that in the text at all. And he tied Isaac up, put him on the altar, and raised the knife to slay his son. Why? Because God told him to do that, and he had confidence in God, and he believed in God. Whatever God said. And that's why he passed the test of his faith and his trust in God, and why we're reading about him today. And so, whenever your parents want you to do things immediately, they want you to do things completely, and they want you to do things without complaining, is because they are trying to instill in your hearts what you attitudes you should have when in your obedience to God. They're not just obeying you, want you to obey just for them, though that is a part of that, but they're wanting to teach you that's how you obey God too. Not just how you obey me as dad, but how you obey God. And if you learn that with how you respond, young people, to your parents, those good things will apply in your obedience unto God. That's the principle. That if you don't learn those lessons of that kind of obedience to your parents, it's likely that you'll fall in your obedience to God in the same areas and in the same ways. And that's why it says to obey your parents in all things. All things? Of course, the only caveat to that is in the Lord. And if your parents would ask you to do something that was against God's word, against God's teaching, the only time that you have a biblical understanding to say, well, I can't do that, Mom. And I know of young people who have had the courage to say that because they were Christians and trying to serve the Lord. You know, I just can't do that because I'm a Christian, even though their parents weren't teaching them correctly. That takes great courage and great faith. But in everything else, the reason, he says, I want you to alert to obey your parents in all things. All things? Do the parents never make a mistake? Oh, no, they make mistakes. Is their judgment always the right judgment? And they see later, no, wasn't the right thing? No, that's not the reason. It's the reason because you need to learn the principle of obedience to your parents in all things, because you will need that as a child of God to learn to obey God in all things. God doesn't make mistakes like your parents do. And your parents recognize those mistakes and can talk to you and say, well, you know what, that was a mistake. Sometimes we say no too quickly, parents, where we could have said yes. But we need to have the courage to come to our children and say, you know what, I should have said yes whenever I said no too quickly. But the principle why they're teaching you that kind of obedience is because they know you're going to have, and how important that is to have that kind of obedience in serving and serving the Lord. And the word obey means to hear under instruction. And the key to that is hear. Do your parents ever say to you, young people, listen to me? They ever say that? And guys, see some smiles. Well, son, did you listen? Did you hear what I said? Pay attention. Why would any parent ever do that? Because they're parents, and because that's what God does to all of us. Proverbs teaches us throughout the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verse 8. We're going to read those verses here. Proverbs 2 and verse 1, receive. Proverbs 3 and verse 1, do not forget. Proverbs 4, verse 1, verse 10, verse 20 through 22, hear. Proverbs 5, verses 1 and 2, pay attention. All the way through the Proverbs, it says, pay attention, listen, hear. And young people, that applies to us as Christians when we read those passages. But the principle of the book of Proverbs is as of parents teaching their children. And therefore, you will be miles and miles and miles and miles ahead if you listen to your parents who love the Lord. You are miles ahead if you have parents who love the Lord, who are giving you instructions and doing that. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verses 4 through 12, we'll just go as far as I can this morning. It's kind of challenging. parents being children, and one lesson. It's kind of like to be talking about parents in one lesson. It's kind of like talking about elders in one lesson. It's a whole series, but we'll just go as far as we can. In First Kings chapter 3 and verse 4, now the king, this is talking about Solomon, with that verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Oh, what a question for God to ask Solomon. And now he's king. He said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Wow, what an opportunity. It wasn't a genie in a box. It wasn't a genie in a jar, whatever genies are in. This was God Almighty saying, "What shall I give you?" Remember what Solomon did? He said, "Now, verse 7, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, for I am a little child. I do not know how to go in and go out and come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant, verse 9, an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself or have riches for yourself or have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there be anyone who rise after you." And basically what Solomon said is, "Give me discerning heart, give me wisdom." That's what Solomon was asking for. Where did Solomon have the wisdom to ask for wisdom? That's right, Brother Sharp. Look over in Proverbs chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 4. The writer of Proverbs is Solomon. And he says, "Hear, my children, an instruction of your father, and give attention to know understanding." Verse 2 of Proverbs 4. "For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law." Verse 3. "When I was my father's son," Solomon to David, "tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. She will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding." Do you know the reason why Solomon was wise in asking for wisdom? Is because he listened to his father, David, in his relationship with God. And David said, the principal thing is to get wisdom in life. And Solomon's, whenever God says, "What do you want?" he said, "I want wisdom to be able to discern." He listened to his father, David, who loved the Lord. And the benefits that were there in Solomon's life in doing so. And then he says, "For this is right," Ephesians 6 and verse 4. This is right. All of us understand there's a principle in our lives that we understand. It's a sense of ought that God has given to all of us because we are created by God. He gave us a sense of right. We know, don't we, young or old, when we've done right? Is it a good feeling? It's a good feeling to know you've done right. You know, the only reason that we can have right in our lives is because God exists. God is the one who determines right and wrong. God is what placed eternity in your who placed eternity into your heart, that there's a principle within you that knows right and knows wrong. Every society, there isn't a single society, whether they recognize God or not, have ever thought that it was right for children to disobey their parents. every society has established the principle, again, whether believing God or not, that children are to obey the parents, because that's a right principle. But it also says this. There's a number of Bible examples of young people who showed great faith and great courage. Daniel, remember Daniel? He was taken away as a teenager to be a slave in Babylonian captivity. They took away everything from him. They changed his name. They changed his clothes. They changed everything. They tried to change everything about him. But whenever he and his friends were taken away as slaves in a foreign land, and they offered him food that he could not eat of the king's delicacies, he was strong in his heart, and he made a right choice. And he came to the king and to the king's leader over them and said that he would not do that, and gave a suggestion of doing the right thing and to allow him and others to not defile themselves and following those principles. And then he had three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they had the altar of the great statue, probably of Nebuchadnezzar. And then whenever the trumpets went off and all the instrumental music went off and they were to bow down before that great image, these three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood while everybody else bowed. And King Nebuchadnezzar, in such anger, said, "I'll throw you into a burning fire, a furnace, unless you do that." And he did so. And they said to Nebuchadnezzar that we don't have to decide what we're going to do. We're going to follow our God. If he saves us, he can save us. But if he doesn't, we're still going to follow God. They did right. Do you understand that sometimes people think that young people, well, they won't do right. And the expectations of young people, although they'll get out and they'll sow their wild oats and they'll do all these mess up all these ways and they'll do all these things. And that's just the way young people are. Not so with God. Not so with God. God says that he has an expectation of even you as a young person to do right. Even when you're young. And we have many other examples of Joseph and other examples of young people who can do right. Don't believe the lie that the world says, well, you're just going to go out and you're going to just live like the world and you're not going to respect God. That doesn't have to be. That's your choice. You can do right. But remember that the right is not just because your parents taught you that, because it's the right thing with God to do right. That he sees your life in relationship unto him, because it pleases the Lord when you do right. And so not only do you please your parents, but you please God, young people, when God sees you obey your parents. Whether you understand it or not, why your parents would ask you to do such a thing as that, and you don't understand it, but you do it anyway, God says, well done. You've done right. If they've instructed you in the way of the Lord, what a blessing that is. But the flip side of that coin is, when you disobey your parents, and you disobey not only your parents, but you disobey God as well. It's not just the attitude sometimes that some young people can have is, oh, now I'm big enough, I can snub my parents, and I can speak ill against them and call them disrespectful names, and aren't I mature? Aren't you sinful? Aren't you sinful of showing disrespect and disobedience to parents? That it doesn't go just to parents. It goes to God. And says the responsibility that you have is not just to your parents, but unto God as well. To be obedient unto them, because it pleases the Lord and it displeases the Lord when you disobey. And I think that's the reason we haven't got time this morning. It can't be that time. But our time, we'll just go with, like I say, as far as we can. That those passages about the son that curses his parents in the Old Testament, that they went out and stoned him. or the son that was, or daughter that was rebellious and refused to obey the parents, that they still, and why are those principles there? We're not under that law anymore, but the principle is there is because God sees the importance of young people learning their obedience unto God. And he stressed that by those Old Testament circumstances. In Romans chapter 1. Look at that sometime in verse 29 through 31, and in the context in which it puts disobedient parents or disobedient children, children who are disobedient to their parents, in the context of all those other sins of murder and fornication and adultery and covetousness and all those other sins, right in the midst of them is disobedient to parents. And so it's not a light matter. And it's an important matter that children learn to obey their parents. To obey them because it honors your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And again, that's another lesson. Did your parents ever say to you, maybe you don't remember as a young child, put that bottom lip back in? You ever remember that statement? Put that bottom lip back in. Don't look at me that way. Don't shrug your shoulders at me that way. Your parents ever say that? You ever do that? Anything like that? They're doing their job. You know why? Because it's important for you and I to know how to obey God. And how we treat the rules of our parents oftentimes is how we'll treat God. And God, so we are to honor our parents. And one way we honor our parents is by obeying our parents and the attitude, because it's the first commandment with promise, and that's the point of primacy, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Do you understand, young folks, and I think it's important to remind all of us, why does God make such rules and regulations? Because God in His counsel of the creation of men said, well, I'm going to think of things that are really hard for people to obey and make them sin. And really things I really want to do, I'm going to make that wrong. And so they can't do them. No, not at all. Not at all. The reason God gives all of us, not just young people, all of us instructions of this thing is sinful in His sight, these things are wrong in His sight, is because our well-being. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it says in verse 4, for our good always. Every command of God, whether I understand the reason for it or not, is for our good. And you need to understand that about your parents. That the reason why they give instruction is because you're their arrow, you're their gift, you're their reward, and they want that which is good for you. And if you have wisdom, you'll listen and follow their instructions as they teach you by the word, about the Word of God. It may be well with you. Do you wish to be wise or a fool? Easy answer, right? Anybody want to be a fool? Not me. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 97. Psalm 119 and verse 97. It says, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, listen, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, and your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. There's a promise of Scripture that says you'll be wiser than your enemies. You'll be smarter than your teachers. Oh, what if that one? And we will be above our ancients. Wow. That's not in mathematics and calculus and chemistry and all those ways. But if you, again, my principle is, if you will follow the wisdom of God, you will be wise in your life, beyond your peers, beyond even those who are much older than you, if you follow the wisdom of God. And that's what your parents are seeking to instill in your heart, that not you just have the wisdom of the world, and the teaching of the world, that you be wise in God. And whenever they're teaching you God's principles, because they want you to go through life and they want you to be wise, that you may live long upon the earth. You ever hit your thumb with a hammer and see that big old purple thumb? We've all done that, right? You ever see a father said, "Look, son, look what I did to my thumb and it hurts. Here's the hammer. Hit your hand." What? Why would I do that? You see what it did to you? Why would I take the hammer and hit? Well, I just want you to see that it hurt me. Let's see if you take the hammer and hit your thumb, it hurts you too. You'd say, "Dad, you've lost your mind." And he had lost his mind. But that is what your children, what your parents are trying to do. They're saying, "I've hit my thumb. I've done wrong. I've made wrong decisions. Don't follow the same path that I followed. It's a dead-end street. Follow the wisdom." And that's what God is doing. Follow the wisdom and the instruction of God, because He knows the end of the path. You don't have to find out yourself what God says is wrong. "Well, I haven't done that." Good. Romans 16 and verse 17. "Be wise in what is good and innocent concerning evil." It's okay in this world, young people, to be innocent, to not know all the ungodly things that are going around us in the world, and not to expect, "Well, have you done it?" "No." "Great." Not, "Have you done it?" "Well, how do you know it's bad until you try it?" "Oh, I know it's bad because the wisdom of God has instructed me and my parents have taught me that it's bad and it's wrong and it's sinful. That's the reason." And if you will listen to that wisdom, you'll be miles ahead and you'll wind up in eternity with God. If you're willing to listen, because they're seeking to direct you in the right ways and in service unto God. Did a bell go off already? It did. My hearing. Can I use that as an excuse? The ears that hears the rebukes of life will be abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. Before honor is humility, because you have to be willing, young or old, to listen and to obey takes humility. "I think you know more than I do, Dad or Mom. You want to serve the Lord and you instructed me in the way of the Lord. I will listen to you." And it says, "The heart of the prudent requires knowledge and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." "Dad, what do you think I ought to do in this?" Pick up your dad off the floor and dust him off, you know, and say, "You know, what a wonderful thing to say. I don't know the direction really to go. What is your insight about this decision in my life?" That's wisdom, young person. To ask the wisdom of a parent who loves God and wants what's well and good and best for you. Listen to the counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. You want to be wise in your latter days? People look to you and say, "Wisdom of God." Then you must be wise now. There are things, young people, that I did whenever I was young that I'm still getting the benefit from, of older Christians and my aunt and uncle who raised me, who taught me in the way of the Lord. And I'm still benefiting from that. But at the same time, there are things in my life that I did wrong as a young person that I'm still dealing with now. I see where it came from. I see the reason why that I was not wise in going down that road. That's all your parents are trying to do. To obey God and teach you to obey Him so we can go to heaven. So we can have a life of wisdom and not a life of folly. Did the other bell ring? It did? Okay, I didn't hear it. Thanks for your attention. Appreciate it.